And now for many, I had completely forgotten about the fact that he's also an artist. And when I remembered that, I remembered that he's the one that painted the sign that's up on the front of the building out here. And he has some of his artwork out on the table out there for sale, and a good artist. And it has larger works of art that he's done, and the price list is out there, and it has some of the artwork that he has put together, like on a card that you can use as a thank you card, also out there. The prayer cards you can have free. And you know, there are two people on the prayer card, and one of them's nice looking, the other one, you know. But you can have a free prayer card. And for many years now, he's been working with folks that are prisoners, folks in jail, and winning them to the Lord, and trying to help them, and has been one of our missionaries for years. And you know, I don't remember the last time that he was here. I don't know if he's ever been here to report, you know. Maybe he has. I just simply can't remember. But if he has, it's been a long time ago, and I'm glad to have him tonight. He's going to show a slide presentation. I don't know why we still call them slides. Slides, I guess, went out 50 years ago, and he'll need somebody to come help him with that. And then he's going to preach to us tonight, Brother George Varra. It's good to have you.
If you got the one that says in English. Uh-huh. Okay. Did you want to say? Well, no, I just want to make sure.
The church has been silent while the world raised its voice. In loud and angry tones they took the lead. But all across creation there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make His message known. I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The rocks and hills were ready to proclaim the Savior's might, but the Spirit of the Lord said they should wait. You see, God knew His children were ready to march on and proclaim His word throughout the land and seal the devil's fate. But the world still tells us daily that God is not alive, and salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But their lies don't change the truth that Jesus died for you, and the word says His returning could happen any day. Well, I've got to shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, I've got to shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm
gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus says. The world will hear my voice, Jesus says. The world will hear my voice, Jesus says. Jesus says.
White, the labor is few, so much work for you and me to do. No time to relax or be unwise is coming is at hand. Father, open up our eyes. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Jesus glorified God with every breath. He was obedient even unto death. The highest calling of a Christian friend is to lay down our lives and glorify Him. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. O Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go.
You know, they say of pictures, say a lot, that my eyes have affected my heart. You know, I've been going to jails and prisons for 27 years. I actually should be in prison. It's my second home, preacher. You call the house, and my wife said, he's in jail. You might call at night, and he'll say, he's in prison. You know, I actually do feel at home. That's what God called me. And, you know, they know that. The inmates know that you're comfortable there. And they know that. That's a difference between a calling. I remember this guy was 6'6". He said, Brother George, I believe God wants me to surrender to the prison ministry. I took him to a federal prison. He was 6'4". He walked in. His eyes were like a chihuahua sticking out. You know, and when the inmates say, are you training a new one there, preacher? They knew he didn't want to be there. You know, and he didn't last. Amen. But it's a calling. And I want to thank the Lord for that call in my life. I want to thank the Lord. I don't know who it was. Somebody at this church left a track. We lived over here in Meadow Glade. Somebody put a track at our door. I was a Christian already. I got saved when I was in the Marine Corps on the USS Peleliu. The Lord changed my life. And we were here. I got out of the active duty, and I was in the reserves. And we were church hopping, and somebody put a track in our door. So when you pass those tracks, you don't know what God's going to do. And so we drove by. I told my wife, we're going to that church. And we drove by, and we ended up in some other church over here. And it looked like they're having a funeral. And I said, let's get out of here, honey, you know. Then I walked into when the church was over here, the church building was over here. I walked in and, bless God, you don't like my preaching? The door swings both ways. Amen. You don't like the way I'm rubbing you? Bless God, turn around. And I said, you know, that's the kind of preaching I heard when I was on the ship. I said, we're going to join this church, honey. And you know what? Preacher, thank you for preaching the word.
Amen.
Straight down the line.
Amen.
You know, I was telling him in his office, I never needed to go to counseling because I was counseled every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, when they're preaching the word of God, I mean, that's what we need. That's the best counsel anybody can have. And so then I was working at Fort Sam Houston with Brother Ayala. We used to work as painters over there. And then there was a guy named Pancho. I don't know if you remember Pancho. Pancho Frank, he used to drink. He was always, at work. And we were installing some signs. And at that time, Joe Boyd was preaching a revival here. And so Pancho would tell me, hey, preacher. I said, man, I ain't no preacher. He said, all you do is preach to me. You're a preacher. And here's a drunk at work telling me I'm a preacher. And then I come to the revival, and Joel Boy was saying, bless God, God's calling you to preach. And he's pointing his bony finger at me. So I was getting it from the evangelist and the drunk at work. I mean, you can't get away from God. Amen. And I remember coming forward and just, you know, asking God. I said, Lord, I mean, I sheeted through school to pass. Can I get an amen, somebody? And I can barely talk, but if you want me to preach, if that's what you want me, I'll surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And, you know, then I heard the preacher say, bless God, God called you to preach. Go to Bible college. Amen. I said, well, preacher, where should I go? Amen. I needed some counseling right there, and he told me where to go. And, you know, when I first started there in Oklahoma City, somebody invited me to go to the county jail in 1989. We left in March of 89. Somebody invited me to the county jail. There I was, and I heard a guy preach to four inmates. And I said, wow. He preached on the chasing of the Lord. And the Lord got a hold of my heart. I said, wow. I was looking at me behind those bars. I was caught one time with 2 pounds of marijuana. I was sold drugs. I lived a wicked life. And God saved my soul.
Yeah.
And so when I saw those inmates, I said, that's me right there.
Yeah.
And so that's when God called me to the prison ministry. He called me. And as we traveled this country raising support, I remember at Atwater, Brother Smith supported us when we were down there. You know, traveled the country, tell people, God called me to preach to the inmates. Took the family, and then not to do what you said God told you to do. 20 years ago, you saw that picture. Pastor Nichols had his hand on me, ordaining me here. 20 years ago, this is 20 years, preacher, that you did that right here. And some of you folks were here in the ordination service. I know Max was on the name there, some others. And, you know, I appreciate this church. You know, I never thought that God would call me to preach. I want to have my own sign shop. I want to do my own business. But God had a plan. And let me tell you, I'm going to give a report on what has happened in 20 years. I preached in 2 federal prisons, and one of them for 11 years and another one for 12 years. The one for 11 years, a guy wanted to get involved, and a Spanish guy, Brother Elguera. And for 2 years, I took him every Thursday, and we had services in Spanish. We might have had one guy, 3 guys, 5 guys. Sometimes we had 20. One time we told him we were going to have popcorn. And, man, we filled it up. And the guy's like, where's the popcorn? I said, we had popcorn preaching. One popped up and preached, amen. Then the other one popped up and preached. We had some people get saved because they thought they were having popcorn, amen. But after 2 years, I told Brother Jose, you know what, it's yours. And then he started doing that every Thursday. He did it for many years, and then he trained another fella. Somebody preaching on Thursday nights at that federal prison. And you have part of that. You're part of that ministry. I went to a prison, a state prison in Lexington for 20 years. Every second Wednesday, I preached at that church. Matter of fact, I preached there last week on a Tuesday. I sat next to a guy that's been in prison for 30 years. I saw a guy that's been there for 40 years. Had a great service. We baptized 2 guys before the service. And then during the service, God worked in a special way. A guy came forward, got saved, baptized him. While I was baptizing him, this guy that was in charge of the Wiccans, these witches, a couple of his members had gotten saved a couple of weeks ago. So he came to see what's happening in the chapel in the prison. And he heard the word, of God. God got a hold of him. And the guy up in the front said, "Hey, preacher, we got another one. He wants to get baptized." And I took him under. I wanted to keep him under a little bit longer, amen, because he used to serve Satan, amen. But I'm telling you, God's working. What a blessing. I go to the state penitentiary every first Thursday, cell to cell, people on death row. Came across a guy, I hadn't seen him in 17 years. He said, "You remember me, preacher?" I looked at him. His name is Jimmy. Jimmy killed his wife. He tried to kill his wife, and the boss got in front of her, and he killed the boss. And he was there in his cell for a year. I would go by his cell, and he cussed me. He said, "Get out of here, man. I want to hear it." And one day, you saw that guy that was tied up in that chair. Right across from him was Jimmy was. And I was praying with this guy, and Jimmy taps on his cell door, and he says, he gave me the powerful finger move, amen, "Come here." After a year of telling me to get out of there, I gave him the finger move too. I said, "Hold on, wait a minute, amen." I finished with this guy, I went over there, and he said, "Preacher, I've done the worst thing any man could ever do. Can God forgive me?" I didn't know that day they had given him the death penalty. I told him how Moses killed the man. And God used him, the greatest leader there ever was. David killed the man. God used him to write the word of God. Paul persecuted Christians. And God, those three men, those three killers, wrote a lot of what we have right here. So God will use folks that have done wicked things if they turn their life over to the Lord. And so right there by his cell, we knelt down in the... And I was on this side, he was on that side. He cried out to God. And to go by his cell 17 years later on death row and him tell me, "Hey, you led me to the Lord. You told me about Jesus." Man, what a blessing. Let me tell you, you have part of that. Oh, yeah, he will be executed. His day is coming, but he's saved. One of the saddest things for me is to have to deal with people that have killed somebody. A young man, 13 years old, went to a youth camp and he heard the gospel. Somebody said, "Hey, you want to get saved?" He came forward. The person up front just said, "Bow," and he said, "Pray this prayer." Led him through a prayer and didn't explain repentance, didn't explain nothing. That guy went back just the way he came down. 2 years went by, he killed his grandma and his grandpa. You'd see him on the news. He had this stone face. Just nobody could talk to him real hard. He's a big fella. And one day he sends me a note. I'm the chaplain at the Oklahoma County Jail. We have about 100 volunteers, and he sends me this note. "I don't want to be in damnation." So I went down there and had an officer open up his cell. I went in there, and I said, "Can I sit in your bunk?" He said, "Yeah." I sat there, and he told me the story I'm telling you. Then I took him to the Garden of Eden. I took him there to the blood sacrifice. Then how his Cain killed Abel. I took him through the blood and the word of God got him to the blood of Jesus Christ. God convicted him of his sin for killing his folks, his parent, his grandparents. There he wanted to get saved. I said, "You know what? You're going to have to pray this one on your own, pal. I don't want the same thing to happen again." We got on our knees and he cried out to God. He got up and he picked me up. He said, "I'm saved." And now he calls his mama. He said, "Mama, you don't want to go to hell, do you? You need Jesus." He just killed her parents. How sad that you have to deal with somebody that kills a loved one, and then you got to tell them how to get saved. I don't understand it, but it works. And you say, "Man, how can it?" And you have guards that will look at these people. How can you do that? I said, "Man, you're going to hell too without Christ." The Lord has allowed us to deal with officers as well. They have more problems than you can think. We have officers that end up in the other side of the cell. So God is working in a great way. I just thank him for what he's done, for what he's doing. And it's a blessing to go to jail. I'm telling you, I can't wait. Amen. And so just a blessing. I've been in a lot of prisons across the country as well. And just to be able to share the word of God. And you know, when you saw those pictures one-on-one, we believe in eyeball to eyeball, kneecap to kneecap, one-on-one, and they open up. You know, 3 out of 4 people that get arrested go back to prison. Those that accept Jesus Christ and get into a good Bible study, only 10% go back. The difference is the Word of God. There's a guy right now in Guerrero. He used to sell drugs. One of my trustees there at the jail. He got out. He was deported. Went to Bible college in Mexico. Is a pastor right now in Guerrero. Is going to 3 or 4 different prisons preaching over there. You have part of that. There's a guy that got out 2 years ago. Did 30 years in prison. Got in when he was 27. Got out at 57. So how can somebody do something? This guy called me. I called somebody. Said, hey, this guy needs clothes. Needs shoes. Help him get a job. He had an interview in a restaurant. He called me. He said, hey, I got an interview tomorrow. I said, well, tell him you work for free for a week. He said, what? I said, man, you work for free for 30 years. Can I get an amen, somebody? I said, you know what, bro? Just tell him you work for free for a week, and I tell you, they'll hire you if you work. He got 2 jobs, was working 60 hours in a week, and people say there ain't no work. There's work if you want to work. Amen, somebody. Well, go to your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter number 15. Bible says there in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, he's still receiving sinners, amen. And he spake this parable unto them, and he breaks it down in 3 parts. And the first one, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I don't know about you, man. If I had 100 sheep and I lost one, I'm glad I got 99. I'm fat, dumb, and happy, brother. Look, I got 99. But the difference is when a shepherd loves his sheep. See, here we see a sheep. God made all the animals. Amen? Now, people think that they're animals. Some act like animals. We were told that we came from monkeys. I went home and looked at my mama. She didn't have a tail. My daddy didn't have a tail. Amen? I looked at pictures of my grandparents, and I said, you know, I was just a little boy, but I think the teachers are wrong. Amen? I thought I'd figure that one out. Now, we did eat bananas, but it's not like the only thing we ate, amen? And so, you know, they try to tell us that we come from animals, but the first one here we see is a sheep. And he went, and the Bible says in verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know what? The sheep, the Bible talks about the pastor has a flock. You're a sheep or you're a goat. One day he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. But what happens with those sheep that stay on the edge, they don't want to be in the middle. They're over here on the edge. They're right on the edge, bro. They're like right on the edge. But I'm still over here, you know, but I'm on the edge. You see, I'm still where I'm supposed to. I'm on the edge. Those sheep that are on the edge are the ones that wolf is going to get, that lion is going to get. Because it's on the edge. Oh, I'm still cool. I can see my pastor from here. Yeah, I see the wolf, but there's my pastor.
Great, brother.
But then after a little while, that wolf gets a little closer, but you can still see your pastor. And you get away from the flock. You stop missing on Wednesday night. Huh? You stop, well, maybe I don't feel good, honey. You go. Can I get an amen, somebody? But if he don't feel good, he still goes to work. But it's church day. I don't feel good. Yeah. And getting away from the flock. Then before you know it, that wolf will got him by the neck. And with his tail, he'll carry him wherever he... Come on, this way, baby. Come on. He'll take him where he wants to go. He won't kill him so that he can still walk. Huh? And he'll take him wherever he wants to go. Here you go. Huh? And that's when you're thinking, where my pastor at? Where my shepherd at? I can't see my shepherd. Well, no, because he's taking you because you're getting away from the flock. But thank God that old shepherd will go. Come here, son. And he'll get that sheep. Can I get an amen, somebody? He'll get that sheep and he'll bring it back. Huh? He ain't going to let the devil take his sheep. Let me tell you, the devil's trying to take you. You better be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Smile at everybody, son.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. And then everybody starts rejoicing. We're excited. Remember that guy? He was wrong. He was bad. He's back.
Amen.
You know what the problem is? When Christians say, well, he's back, I knew. Man. Instead of bringing him back, you want to step on him. Huh? I knew he wasn't going to make it. He was no good anyhow. I grew up in the Alasana Apache courts. Can anything good thing come out of the Alasana Apache courts? Pretty hard. Most of the buddies I grew up with ended up joining the Mexican mafia. Some bad boys. God loves everybody. Here's a picture of a sheep. There was 100, but that one was so important that he went back and grabbed it and brought it back. God made all the animals. But what's interesting to me right here, it says in verse 6, and when he cometh home and calleth together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repented, he brought the sheep. Hey, when somebody gets saved, man, you ought to get excited. I remember one year here, I believe every Sunday somebody had been saved and baptized. And it was New Year's night. And there was some Spanish guy. Somehow he ended up here. It was cold. And I remember going up and getting this guy prepared and talking to him about baptism. And he got baptized. A friend of mine named Lazarus, he lived on Gabriel Street. Remember that one, preacher? I remember preacher was saying, Lazarus got saved and he's getting back. He lives in Gabriel Street. Everything was biblical. He was my buddy from the barrio. And you know what? Time went by and he said he really didn't get saved. He said, I thought if I got saved, that things would be better for me just like things were better for you. The concept that some people have is off. And so here it says, the second one, either what woman of you having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? You know, people care so much about silver. Huh? I'm telling you, a lot of the people that I deal with, it's about the silver, about the money. It's easy to make money selling dope, selling drugs. I remember an inmate in 1994, he was beating his uncles if they didn't bring enough money. He would tie him up in a chair and beat his uncles if they didn't bring. He was a big-time drug dealer. And he wanted his uncles. He's a big old monster. What? For money. See, money will destroy marriages. Money will destroy friendships. I know two men, older men, the best of friends. They did everything together. And something happened. And then about 2 years went by, and I said, man, this is wrong. You're in the same church. So I called one of them. I said, hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, great. You know what? The Lord impressed upon my heart to tell you that, you know, either you're going to die first or the one that used to be your friend. And you're going to go to one another's funeral hoping that you got things right. Huh? Pride. And I said, oh, by the way, I just thought I'd let you know. I'm just, because of your friend, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm trying to get these two guys to realize, hey, man, don't let that get to you. So then I said, by the way, today, starting today, Thursday till Sunday, Dillard's has a sale, 50% off on suits with an additional 40. Really? Yeah, and I hung up. Then I called the other brother. I said, how you doing, brother? Fine. I said, hey, did you know that today in Dillard's, on Thursday till Sunday, they have 50% off on suits, an additional 40? He said, really? Yeah, I saw that to let you know, brother. Good night. And I hung up. The next time I saw one of them, he said, you ain't going to believe what happened. I said, what? He said, I was trying a suit. And the brother that I had odds with showed up. And he said, if I was you, I'd buy that suit. It looks real good on you. See, they hated each other. They were both looking for a deal at Dillard's, and they found a friendship.
I didn't know they were going to drop everything and go straight to Dillard's. But you know, we let money. You know, can a man rob God? He can. He can't get away with it, but he can. One of the men in this church taught me about tithing. I was a young Christian, and I was asking him questions, and he explained tithing to me. Started tithing. You see, the older are supposed to help the younger. This thing about ladies having that together, there's a reason for that. Can I get an amen, somebody? I mean, the money will ruin people. The love of money, the root of all evil. We all need it. But people get off on... Well, back to the story, amen. She was looking for this coin and she found it. She got a light and she found that silver coin. She was excited. I mean, and then what happened? Everybody rejoices. I mean, it's just a coin. It's just money. But everybody was rejoicing. And then it says the same thing that it says in verse 7 and verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And then the one I really wanted to touch on was number 3. So there's 100 sheep, 10 pieces of silver. We know that one is more important than 99. That one that was lost was found. And then 2 sons. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me. You know, nothing has changed, right, fathers? Give me. You know, they got that one memorized. Give me the portion of goods that falleth, that belongs to me. I mean, at least let the old man die, bro. Hey, Dad, don't take that medication anymore. What for? Go ahead and kick the bucket, Daddy. Can I get a witness? Amen. When are you going to kick the bucket, Father? You know? Hey, give me what pertains to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey where? Into a far country. You know, when you want to sin, you go away from San Antonio. Let's go to another little town and sin. Let's go to the next town over where you think nobody knows. To a far country. And he wasted his substance in riotous living. You know, you're fortunate to grow up in a church environment where you're being taught what's right. What the problem is when a teenager turns 18, he thinks he can do whatever he wants because he's 18. And I told my boys, they're 33, 30, and the other one's going to be 27 in December. And I said, you know, I'm always going to be your daddy. I'm always going to give you advice whether you want it or not. I'm just going to tell you like it is. You know, for the last 5 years, I believe, I sent 4 texts a day to my wife and my 3 sons. And it's a scripture, and I put it all out and I send it to them. I said, now whether they read it or not, I don't know, but I send it to them. See, they don't need to hear, I love you, mijo, you know. What you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. You know, I'm not going to be texting like, I'm going to send you a verse. This is what God said. Can I get an amen, somebody? Now, the only Facebook I do is this one right here. Amen. Bro, I get my face in the book every day. Amen. And you know where I learned that? I learned that right here at this church. I remember when Pastor had he was going on the book of Proverbs, Practical Pointers for Prosperous Living. The best preaching I ever heard. Practical Pointers for Prosperous Living. And for years, I'd send him a proverb. Boom, boom, boom. You can't get no better than a proverb. You see, a proverb will slap you on one side of the face, whap, and then it'll slap you on the other side of the face. And if that didn't get you, slap you in the back of the head. I mean, proverbs will get you. I mean, there's nothing straighter than a proverb. And you can, I'll quote preacher, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it, amen. Amen, somebody. And you know, while you have money, you got friends. The Bible says the rich have many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor.
I think that's a proverb. Can I get a witness? You see, while you have feria, people love you. Oh, people around you. As soon as you're broke, busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted, they disappear. Amen, somebody. You see, the people that I deal with steal, rob. Some guy told me, he said, you know, it's not like I kill somebody, I just rob somebody, bro. It's like I'm not that bad of a guy. I mean, they said that I grabbed her by the hair and dragged her 22 feet. I said, what was it, 20 feet? Hey, you know, you got to have humor working with some of these guys, amen? Amen? I've got in my Bible that I use when I go cell to cell, I got a picture and the back of chisels. And I'll go to a guy that thinks he's tough and he don't really want to talk. He just, and I say, hey, man, are you tired of being here? He's like, yeah. I said, I can help you get out. He said, you can? I said, yeah. And I turned the page to the back and I got these four chisels. I said, you want to buy a chisel? I got the 1-inch, the 2-inch, and the 3-inch chisel. And so if the guy don't laugh, then he's still trying to act tough, right? And then I turned the page and I said, you want to buy a watch? I got like four watches. You want to buy a watch? What's he going to do? Get out of the cell and get me? Kind of remind me of that guy. He broke into this house and he had a .38 revolver. You know, he got all the jewels and, man, he's getting ready to leave. And he got tempted to go get some more. So he goes into the bedroom, tippy-toe into the bedroom, and he knocks his lamp over. And the couple wakes up, so he points that gun at the woman. He said, what's your name? She said, my name is Elizabeth. He said, well, I'd shoot you, but my grandma's name Elizabeth. And then she points at the man. She said, what's your name? He said, my name Bob, but they call me Elizabeth. Amen? They call me Elizabeth. What's up, Liz? Amen? Even in the inmate family, when they're broke, they forget about each other. Huh? And I said, hey, where's all your homies at? And I'll throw their gang signs at them. You're a 107, you're a 107 Hoover? Where they at? Where they at now? Where's your clique at? Huh? I'll throw their gang at them. Amen, somebody. Where they at? You know who come visit you? Mama. Mama the one that come visit you. Oh, you've broken everything. You've gone away from your family and you've stolen from your parents and you think nobody loves you. He's hungry and he ends up with the pigs. Huh? You see, if he keeps on doing wrong, they say that the pigs are going to take him to prison. They call the police officers the pigs. See, in the animals, like in the jail, it's like a farm. If a guy snitches on somebody else, they call him a rat. And then they call each other, what's up, cat? Yo, dog. Yo, dog, what up, dog? It's a bunch of animals. Amen, somebody. And so he's over there with the hogs, man. He said, what am I doing here? Why go to the pig pen when you can be in the king's house? You see, people say, man, Brother Vada, you got an awesome testimony. I got a terrible testimony. I was in the pig pen. How can that be a good testimony? A good testimony is a young person that never smoked, that never drank, that never did drugs. And they stayed clean. Oh, you're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. You need to repent because you're lying to your parents. You're doing things you ought not to. But why get in the pig pen? So you can come out and say, I used to be in the pig pen, man. I'm telling you. Over there with the pigs, we really roll around in the mud, man. You should have seen us. Come on. Yeah. You know how they feed them pigs? They feed them garbage. Huh? Can you imagine this young man coming to himself and saying, I've sinned against God and my father. I'll go back. I'm just going to try to get a job back with daddy. He's got no shoes. He got mud between his toes, working his way back. And the devil says, man, don't go back. Don't go back. You see, daddy already knew. He'd been praying. It reminds me of me. This story reminds me of me because I have a praying mama. And I was rebellious. And I joined the Marine Corps. You see, I was tired of my parents telling me what to do. I joined the Marine Corps. How dumb can you be, brother? Soon as I got there, they shaved my head, put my feet on the yellow footprints at a 45-degree angle. And, man, they told me when to eat. I mean, I had to do everything. I belonged to them 24/7. And, you know, there was a man that was telling me about Jesus. And I said, get away from you, Jesus freak. And he kept coming. I tell you, I had a praying mama. You have a loved one that's gone astray. You keep praying. God will send somebody. You do what's right. And that guy keep telling me about Jesus. Man, get away from you, Jesus freak. He invited me to church. Give me tracks. One time he had a box of tracks. I didn't know there were tracks, but he's laying hands and praying over this box. And I said, what's wrong with this guy? I didn't know he was praying that God would work in the hearts of the sailors and the Marines on that ship. Huh? I ended up naming my son after that man, Danilo. Bible says in another Proverbs, a good name is to rather be chosen than great riches. Proverbs 22. There's another proverb, preacher. Amen. And so you know what? He finally heads that way, but Daddy already knew. You see, he met him halfway. God will meet you halfway. Maybe you're here today, you're not right with God. Oh, you look good in here. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, brother. Yes. You got all the words down. But inside, you ain't living right. Huh? You can fool me and I can fool you, but you can't fool God. You see, when God gets a hold of you and you turn everything over to Him, then you'll walk with Him. Then what you say means something. It's not just words. You see, people can tell. The inmate can tell if you're for real. I mean, they'll test you and test you. One of the things that I've done is I've written the bottom of my shoe, Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. So when an inmate wants me to do something, I just show them the bottom of my foot.
Amen, brother. That's good.
I said, man, you tried that on me 10 years ago when you were here locked up last time. I said, I don't want to be in an orange suit like you. Amen, somebody. In all the ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So Daddy meets him halfway, hugged his neck. He said, put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on that boy. Huh? That ring, man, he could buy whatever he wants with that ring. Hey. And we're gonna get him some veggie burgers, okay? We're gonna have a feast. We're gonna have veggie burgers. I don't think so, amen. He said, go bring the skinniest cow we got. No. You know the one that they were getting ready for the Pope when he came here in 88? I believe he came here in 88, and the Catholic Church had the, man, I think they bought a cow for like $1 million or something. They auctioned this cow because the Pope was coming. He was coming to San Antonio, and they killed the fatted calf for the Pope. And they were selling ropes of soap of Pope. A rope and a soap of Pope. Never did get one of those, amen. But let me tell you something else. I heard that the Pope had a heart problem. And so they opened up the doors there in the cathedral, and the highest cardinal said, We're gonna drop this feather. Whoever it lands on, we're gonna take your heart and you're gonna give it to the Pope. And all the people, hail to the Pope, viva el Papa, in every language and tongue, they were all just cheering. And he drops that feather. And they say, hail to the Pope. Hail to the Pope. Viva el Papa. Amen. Hail to the Pope. Let me tell you, there's no hope in the Pope. Amen. I grew up in the Alazan Apache courts. I played sports there for La Guadalupe Church. And we'd go into that church building and everybody like, shh. Because like God was in there. As soon as we walked out, you could smoke a joint, drink a beer, whatever, but he couldn't see you out there, but only in there. Shh. Them saints were all over the place looking at you like, huh? Amen, somebody. Oh, You know, the problem also was a brother at home. He wouldn't even come in to the feast. Daddy had to come out and say, hey, come on, boy. He said, I've done everything. I've kept all your commandments. And you ain't got nothing from me. You ain't even killed a little kid for me. Instead of rejoicing that his brother. How sad. Hey, that boy is important. You're important. And I want you to think about other people that have a son. You might be an encouragement to somebody. There's people hurting. And if you don't help them now, they'll end up like some of those you saw up there. See, the problem in America is we kick God out of school. We don't need you in school. No Bibles in school. No prayer in school. And as soon as they get locked up, let's give them a Bible. Here you go. I saw a guy last week. I said, man, you've been here more than 50 times. I've given you over 50 Bibles. Every time you come here, I give you a Bible. I said, when you come back, I'm going to give you another one. But if you get saved, if you really get saved, I won't have to be giving you a Bible in here. You can use that Bible in church. Can you imagine that? In and out, in and out, in and out. But we still care about them. We still want them to get saved. It's the Word of God that's going to make a difference. His brother was upset that his brother was back. How sad. But as soon as this thy son, verse 30, come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots and has killed, thou hast killed the fatted calf. I mean, I love that cow, Daddy. That was my favorite cow. You even killed my favorite cow for my brother. Yeah. My, oh my, oh my. You see, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. What is more important, the sheep, the coin, or the son? See, with the sheep you can eat, you can make clothes. There's money there. The coin, you can buy stuff. But the son, nothing can replace your son. He'll always be your son. I walked by this cell and I saw this inmate. He had an X tattooed on his chest. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know who my father is. I said, so that's why you put an X on your chest? He said, I just don't know who my daddy is. I said, well, I'm adopted. He said, really? I said, yeah. And then you know where I went with that one. Amen. You too can be adopted. Really? Hey, it wasn't long. We were on our knees and he was adopted to the family of God. And he can cry out to the Father. See, this son went and got things right. And that's what's important. 100 sheep, 10 pieces of silver, 2 sons, 1 sheep, 1 coin, and 1 soul, I would like to say a soul. That's the most important thing. As we do the prison ministry, the Lord has opened the doors for me as well to do youth conference. Something about being in prison and jails, and when you go to a youth conference and you preach and you tell stories about inmates and things like that, the preacher says, hey, can you come preach to our youth and stuff like that? The Lord has opened those doors. And I tell people, if you don't want to go to prison, you want to know how it feels to be in prison? When you get home, you get a mattress and take it to the restroom and sleep in the restroom and then have mama bring you food. That's how it feels to be locked up. I've seen preachers' boys. You know, anybody can be locked up. You better be careful. But you're going to let God use you here or there. Will you stand tonight? Will you stand? Maybe you're here tonight and you already saved, and most probably are. Maybe you have a loved one, a family member.